This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Everyone has experienced moments of memory lapse. You stand up to get something, and then you forget what you got up for. Or you spend 15 minutes trying to remember the name of that famous actor, only to have it come to you the next morning in the shower. So you start to wonder, is this the beginning of Alzheimer's? Or is this just normal memory loss? And how do you tell the difference? Well, some Boston researchers are trying to figure that out. Scientists at Brigham and Women's Hospital and Mass General have started a study that will reveal what's normal aging and what's something more troubling. Dr. Risa Sperling of Harvard Medical School and the Brigham and Mass General is the principal investigator of the study, and she joins me now. Dr. Sperling, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Dr. Sperling, before we get into the specifics of your research, let's start with a brief description of the tests that you're going to be running on the research participants over the next 5 years. You're going to show the participants a set of faces, strangers' faces, and then you're going to tell them a name. And then a half hour later, you're going to show them the same faces and see if they remember the names. Is that how it works?
Exactly. That's the most common complaint of older folks, that they can't remember names. So this is like they're going to a party and meeting a lot of people all at once very quickly. And we ask them to try to remember the name associated with each face, because that's a very difficult memory task.
So you have brought a laptop into the studio with you. I haven't seen the screen yet, but I understand you have some faces on there and you're going to test me. We're going to do a mini test. So you're going to show me the faces. Then, of course, we're going to talk for a while, and before the show ends, we're going to see if I can remember the names of those faces.
Exactly. Now, this is a little bit different than what we do in the actual experiment, because we do this in an MRI machine, but here I'll give you an example of what we would show our subjects in the MRI machine to try to see how their brain is working when they're trying to remember new faces and names. All right, so let me show you some of these faces.
I see a 30 or 40-something brunette named Susan.
Exactly.
A balding, bearded guy named Lenny.
Perfect.
A woman who looks of Indian descent named Lauren.
Perfect.
A African-American man named Earl. And an older woman named Emily.
Perfect. And in fact, we purposely have tried to make these faces diverse in ethnicity and age so that it's much more like what people would experience in their real life. And again, we tell them explicitly that we're going to ask them to remember them later, and we scan their brains during those first few seconds when they're trying to form these associations to see when the brain is able to form those associations correctly and when, unfortunately, it fails.
All right, so tell me the purpose of this test.
So the purpose of this test in particular is to see how the memory networks in the brain are actually working. So we know that in order to form those associations, certain parts of your brain, in particular something we call the hippocampus, really needs to work well to form those associations that will last a half hour or last a day or even a lifetime. And unfortunately, we know that those parts of the brain are very vulnerable to early Alzheimer's disease. So we can look in a magnet at actually whether those parts of the brains are turning on at as they should or failing to turn on, and actually predict whether you're going to remember it 30 minutes later or not.
So that's what you'll be looking for. You'll be looking for what parts of the brain are active or not active during this.
So we are looking at that with functional MRI, and another critical part of the study is to look for evidence in the brain of very early Alzheimer's disease using PET scans, because we're now able to look for one of the brain changes that occurs even before symptoms in Alzheimer's disease called amyloid plaques. And we hope to understand whether they really cause memory trouble, and when, again, memory trouble is part of normal aging, or when it's part of this very early process of Alzheimer's disease.
What do we know now about the difference between a normally aging brain and a brain that might be showing signs of Alzheimer's?
So one of the things we know is that we used to think that the brain lost lots of cells as it aged normally, and we're finding, in fact, that some of what we previously attributed to normal aging, either cell loss in the brain or, again, memory lapses, might not be normal aging, but might be these very early signs of Alzheimer's disease. So one of the advantages of these techniques is it helps us really understand who's on the trajectory towards normal versus, unfortunately, on the trajectory towards Alzheimer's disease.
Does it have to be either normal aging or Alzheimer's? Could it be something in the middle, like you're not sleeping enough, you're not getting enough vitamins and nutrients, and that's what's causing it?
That's an excellent question. So it's the case that at any age, our brain is more vulnerable if we don't get good sleep, we don't get good nutrition, or if there's anything else going on, stress or medications. But it's still the case that a normal aging brain is able to withstand those stresses more than a brain that's being affected with the earliest stages of Alzheimer's disease.
So if it's a normal aging brain, if you just get some more sleep or eat better, you should hopefully correct that problem.
Exactly.
What is a normal aging brain? So, for example, one of our producers this morning said that when he has breakfast, he often puts the milk in the cabinet and the breakfast cereal in the refrigerator. And we all know people who can't find their glasses, and it turns out they're on top of their head. Is that normal aging, or how do we know when we think, oh boy, this is Alzheimer's?
Right. So those ideas that you just mentioned are really times where we have lapses of attention, and they're probably not really memory impairment per se. And again, if you're still looking for your glasses and running around the room looking for them while they're still on the top of your head, you remember that you forgot something. Unfortunately, in early Alzheimer's disease, people forget that they've forgotten. And I think that it's sometimes hard to tell when it's a normal senior moment and when it's early Alzheimer's disease. But in general, what you've just described, I would call normal aging.
And give me another example of a troubling sign of aging.
So when people repeat themselves many times, they've forgotten that you've had a conversation, when they forget important things, like they're supposed to meet their daughter for lunch, or they forgot that they've already deposited the check in the bank. But sometimes, again, it can be difficult because everyday memory loss can be either, and that's part of the reason we need these studies to help us.
Will you also be looking at why some people's brains seem to age better, whether all that Sudoku and all that swimming and all those book clubs actually make a difference?
Right. Absolutely. Part of this study is not just to look for early Alzheimer's disease, but really try to understand what makes the brain age well. So we're looking at pedometers, how many steps an older person takes, what activities they've done. We do know, unfortunately, that crossword puzzles right now can't really stave off aging or Alzheimer's disease, but there may be other environmental factors that could help us learn how to make the brain age more gracefully.
If you get to the point that you do determine what's normal aging and what's an early sign of Alzheimer's, how are we going to fix that? You know, there are so many products marketed as memory pills, like Ginkgo biloba, not FDA approved. But are we actually trying to come up with a memory pill or a exercise we can do to stave off aging?
Absolutely. So one of the things, if we can better understand the aging process from early Alzheimer's disease, is develop therapies that might target the processes differently. So we're desperately looking for therapies for Alzheimer's disease, and we think that we could do a better job at treating that if we started before people had the late stages of dementia. But even cognitive aging, we might call it, there might be medications that can boost up chemicals in the brain and help people remember even if they don't have Alzheimer's disease.
This is a great fear for people. I mean, it's not just, oh, I'm worried. It's, oh, my mother had it. Could this be a sign of me having it as well?
It is an extreme fear. In fact, for people over the age of 65, for women, they actually fear Alzheimer's disease more than breast cancer. And we really have made great strides in cancer and in heart attacks and preventing other forms of this. And we need to do this in Alzheimer's disease to move to a prevention mode.
Dr. Risa Sperling, you and I have been talking for maybe 10 minutes.
Yes.
Now, you showed me those pictures 10 minutes ago. Normally, the test is someone would be retested 30 minutes later, but let's see how I can do.
Exactly. We'll give you a break. All right. So who is this?
This was the older woman at the very end. Is she Emily?
Absolutely wonderful.
This is the Indian woman, and I only think I remember her name because I was expecting an Indian-type name, and I think her name is Lauren, which was very American.
Wow, you're doing terrifically well.
All right, this is one of the men, and I remember that one of the men was Lenny and one was Earl. I think this maybe is Lenny.
Well, this is Earl, but that's very good that you remembered those names, and
so
therefore
this must be Earl because he's the other man.
Absolutely. Well, that's Lenny, yep. All right, and who's this?
This was the first one. I think the first name I saw was Susan.
Wow. I think you did a fantastic job, but it shows you how fast the brain can form those associations. And again, at least right now, I can say you've got a healthy aging brain.
But I also wasn't given the full test because I normally have to wait 30 minutes. And after another 20 minutes of conversation with you, who knows if that would have stuck in my brain.
And we typically show people about 80 face name pairs, but still, I think you did a great job.
Thank you. Dr. Risa Sperling is the principal investigator of Harvard's Aging Brain Study. She's affiliated not only with Harvard Medical School, but also with Brigham and Women's Hospital and Massachusetts General Hospital. Thank you very much for making the trip in here and for testing me.
Thank you for doing so well.
Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea joins me, as he often does on Fridays, to go over your feedback from this week's shows. Hi, Adam.
Hello, Sasha. I would like to greet you with a quote from my favorite character from my favorite Christmas movie. This is Hans Gruber, the German terrorist from Die Hard. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, well, that's one way to segue into a little conversation about movies, because I was going to mention the movie The Black Swan.
Ah.
That's been attracting some pretty negative attention to the ballet world lately.
It does. After all, it does depict ballerinas as anorexic, hyper-competitive self-mutilators driven to distraction by overbearing stage mothers and slave-driving directors.
Yes, it does. So on our show on Monday, the director of the Boston Ballet School, Margaret Tracy, not surprisingly, had a different view. She defended real-world ballet as opposed to the movie version of ballet.
We take very seriously the health and wellness of each and every one of our dancers and our dance students.
So Jillian offered a personal experience with this at WBUR.org/Boston. She says, I'm 24, and I've studied ballet for most of my life. I almost chose to become a professional ballet dancer, but decided on a different career path. While I more than understand that ballet is often demonized for how physically and emotionally demanding it is, I also believe that perfectionists are drawn to ballet because of the nature of the art form. I don't believe that it is necessarily ballet that makes people into perfection-grasping people. Ballet doesn't have to be dangerous, and if anything, ballet has taught me how to listen to my body in a way that I don't believe many other activities do. I think that ultimately the drive for perfection is a much wider problem in American culture that is not only specific to ballet.
That's an interesting perspective, so thank you for sharing that, Jillian. Adam, we also talked this week with two local booksellers about this year's best Boston-themed books and best books by Boston authors. And the web comments on that story got into the ongoing debate about e-readers.
Which never ends. Janice Godfrey is an e-reader booster. She says, my son, who is dyslexic, loves his e-reader because it allows him to adjust the font.
And we also got e-reader hate mail.
Of course. Mark shoots back with e-books. Expensive device equals greater risk of theft. Usually bigger than a small book equals harder to carry. More fragile equals easier to break. And on the plus side, Mark continues, you can search for keywords in the whole book instead of using the index in the back, which these days can be far too short. And there's the other upside mentioned in the comment by Janice Godfrey.
And that debate will certainly continue as Kindles and Nooks and Sony readers and so on are unwrapped all over the country tomorrow.
And by the way, we got an email from listener Dan Roth in response to our Christmas gadget segment with the Globe's Hiawatha Bray on Wednesday about the Sony tablet. He writes, I have a Sony Dash and it streams WBUR. There's an internet radio streamer application built in. Not a problem to wake up to Bob Oakes.
Ah, good. Mm-hmm. Finally, Adam, on Tuesday, we heard an in-studio performance by Lady Lamb the Beekeeper.
I want to die today up in my
head. Her real name is Allie Spaltrow. The name Lady Lamb the Beekeeper came to her in a dream. She's a 21-year-old singer-songwriter from Portland, Maine, and she just moved to Somerville because she's hoping to get more gigs and better gigs in a bigger music market.
And I think that she will get. Here's what our listeners thought of Lady Lamb. Your voice, lyrics, excellent, says Jennifer Hess. Rick Tremble was even more enthusiastic. Lady Lamb the Beekeeper has one of the most hauntingly captivating voices I've heard. Eartha Kitt wrapped in Amos Lee, completely infused with a sad soulfulness that is so far beyond her 21 years. I cannot wait to buy this record.
Actually, her new album isn't out yet, but you can listen to her music on her website, and you can also listen to some of her songs and watch a video of her performing here in our studio at WBUR.org/Boston.
Where, of course, you can keep those comments coming.
Yes, please do keep them coming. Adam, thanks a lot.
Merry Christmas, Sasha.
Was born, and how he flung us forward into day and night, and how we floated down as if...
Up next, the country's most famous female swordfish boat captain comes out of retirement and heads back to sea. And a transplanted Australian is transported home at a new restaurant in South Boston. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.
Thin-skinned and desirable, how I...